Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, when he receives the anointing upon his feet by this sinful woman, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This encounter in the New Testament is one of the most touching, moving, poignant, powerful, realistic, true-to-life encounters in the whole ministry of Jesus. This is one of my favorite stories in the whole Scripture of this woman who washes Jesus' feet with her long, beautiful hair. I will say this, if you understand this true story, then you will understand Jesus, you will understand God's mercy and what the gospel is. But if you don't understand this true story, you will never understand Jesus. You will never understand the mercy of God and the gospel. Because this is the reality. We are the sinful woman. And Jesus has showed mercy on us. So my friends, like the sinful woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears, we sinners have also come with repentant hearts today to hear the words of the Lord, "Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace." And that's what Jesus wants you to have. Forgiveness and peace. Just like this woman in this story. Let's first look at what repentance is for her. Then we'll look at what forgiveness and faith is for her and for us. And then finally, what is God's love and peace for her and for us. As a little bit of the context here to explain the way they ate in the first century, if you had a banquet hall and the table was maybe 12 to 18 inches off the ground, and each of the guests actually had their own little mat that was maybe 4 inches thick that you lay on as you ate. And the dinner might be 3.5 hours long. Your head was at the table and your feet, of course, which are away from the table, and the servants would come and wash your feet and your head would be at the table. And it's now while they're eating, when his feet are away from the table, when this beautiful story happens where she washes his feet with her tears. We see in her life true repentance. But for the Pharisee, there is no repentance. The Pharisee, this self-righteous ruler of the people, has invited Jesus to dinner, not because he believes in Jesus, not because he's humble, but because everyone is talking about Jesus and his miracles. So he thinks, let's see what this fellow has to say. So they have this great banquet at table, and he, in his self-righteousness, is completely looking down at this woman of the street. He sees her and condemns her. He also condemns Jesus. If this man were a prophet, he would know what this woman is like. She's touching him, and she is a sinner. But not me. I'm not a sinner. You see, for the Pharisee and for all people who will not repent, when there is no repentance, there is no love lost for Jesus at all. People in the world who don't want Christ in their life, there's no repentance whatsoever. And they look down on Jesus. This self-righteous Pharisee, this Pharisee and leader, had no repentance at all. But the opposite is true for this sinful woman. She shows a beautiful act of repentance. This sinful woman knew about Jesus and that he came for sinners like her. Now it simply says she was a sinful woman, and everybody in the town knew it. Maybe she was a prostitute, maybe not. But she was considered lowlife, a sinful woman in the town. But she was ashamed of her sinful life, and she knew that Jesus came for sinners like her. And in this beautiful act, she stands at Jesus' feet. She's weeping so much that Jesus' feet are getting wet, not with rain, but with her tears. She doesn't have a towel, so she begins to wipe up the tears with her hair. And then she takes an alabaster flask and breaks it open, and this expensive ointment pours all over Jesus' feet. This is one of the most beautiful acts of repentance in the entire New Testament. And here she comes as a broken woman, a sinful woman, admitting her sin and coming to Christ for forgiveness and peace. You and I are called to daily repentance. The church is a place for sinners. If you're not a sinner, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong place and you might as well just leave. Because if you're not a sinner, then you don't need Jesus. This is a place for sinners like you and me and like her. We commit sins of thought, word, and deed every day. We commit so many sins we're not even aware of all of our sins. We have sins of omission. We omit to do something we knew we should have done. And we have sins of commission. We do things to others that we're ashamed of, or we should be ashamed of. When we break the Ten Commandments, the first and second table of the law, not loving the Lord our God and not loving the neighbor as ourself, we realize that we're fighting a battle every day between the new man in your baptism and the old Adam. You fight that battle every single day. And repentance means admit the sin, be truly contrite and sorrowful over it, confess it, and repent. You can do that privately as people come to me in my office in confidence and kneel at the kneelers and confess their sin to me as their pastor. We did it publicly as a whole congregation. We confessed our sins of thought, word, and deed at the beginning of this divine service. We are just like David when Nathan came to him and told him, "You are the man that committed adultery. You're the one that's the murderer." And David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." He confessed his sin. The beginning of the Christian life is repentance. You can't psychoanalyze your life and try to defend all the things you've done. You just have to come clean. Repent. I have sinned before you, O Lord, and my brother. And I repent. Just like this woman who repented, and just like us who repent each and every day, then we are ready for forgiveness. Because as this story continues, she receives forgiveness, and she has faith in the Lord. The story continues, however, with the Pharisee. Not only did he have no repentance, he had no faith, and he didn't even care about forgiveness. Did you know this Pharisee actually was treating Jesus with utter contempt and insulting him? When you have a big banquet, and Jesus is the guest of honor, he comes in and the servants wash the guests' feet. You give the kiss of greeting and hospitality. You anoint them with oil. This man has omitted just common courtesy. No one took water to wash Jesus' feet. Nobody gave Jesus the kiss of greeting. Nobody poured oil on his head. He was treated with disdain by this Pharisee. This man didn't think he needed forgiveness. He called Jesus a rabbi and a teacher. That's all he considered Jesus was, some new teacher. He had no faith. He had no, he thought, need of forgiveness. In reality, he was sitting in judgment over Jesus. But the woman was the opposite. She had faith and she did receive forgiveness. And Jesus brings to his attention what the woman had done. She's weeping so much that Jesus' feet are wet with her tears. She doesn't have a towel, so she takes her hair and unwinds the hair, and she dries Jesus' feet with her hair. Then she kisses Jesus' feet and anoints him with this really expensive oil. And Jesus says, "Her many sins, which are many, are forgiven. Your faith has saved you." This is a beautiful picture of the church. We are this woman. We are the ones that fall down at Jesus' feet and with contrite tears weep over our sin. You and I are given faith by the Holy Spirit to believe that Jesus Christ says the same thing to you and me. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. The Holy Spirit created faith in your heart through the preaching of the gospel. As Paul said in Galatians this morning, the gospel is this: Christ Jesus was crucified in your place as your substitute. He is the Son of God, and by His grace, He took the curse we deserved upon Himself on the tree of the cross. He was cursed with the wrath of God that should have fallen upon us, and fall upon Jesus on the cross, and now He gives you His righteousness. He redeems you from the curse and gives you His righteousness. In Him you are declared righteous and justified without blemish through faith in Christ, through the promised Holy Spirit given you. This forgiveness has personally entered into your life. Like for this woman, in water and word and baptism, you are declared a son of God. In absolution, you heard Jesus' words today: I forgive you your sin. In Holy Communion, He says, I give you my body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. The Christian life is all about receiving forgiveness and having faith in the promise. Your sins are forgiven, and you have everlasting life now. So for this woman and for you and me, repentance, faith, and forgiveness. And lastly, she went on in her life, and we go on in our life with God's love and His peace. Again, the Pharisee. He had no love for God and no peace. He's at the table and they all start grumbling. Who is this man who forgives sins? They didn't want God's love in Jesus, and they certainly didn't think Jesus could forgive them. In fact, they didn't really care about forgiveness. They had no love or joy or peace. They only had self-righteousness in themselves. But for this woman, she personally experienced God's love in this moment before Jesus and His peace. She is forgiven much. All of that baggage was removed. And so she's going to love much because she's been forgiven so much. Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The burden was lifted for this woman. Can you imagine her face as she was leaving, weeping no more, but rejoicing in the peace and forgiveness that she had? You do notice in the text that women played a very important role in the life of Jesus. Yes, there were the 12 apostles, but along with this woman, who certainly continued to serve Jesus, Luke mentions Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna. These were very prominent women of means who supported Jesus and the apostles with their monetary means and their service, and were among the entourage of those who were disciples of Christ. They too knew God's love and peace. So it is with you and with me. The good news of the kingdom has been proclaimed in our cities and in our villages right here. Do you know in the divine service how much we sing about God's love? If you look through all the hymns today, the hymns and the psalms and the lessons, it's all about God's love and mercy for you. And did you know how many times we say in the divine service, the peace of the Lord be with you? And in fact, when you leave here today in the benediction, the very last thing you hear, the very last word you will hear is peace. The peace of God be with you. So whatever burdens you came here today, whatever sins that weighed heavy on you, you confess them. Christ has forgiven them. You now leave this place with God's love and His peace in your heart. Our many, many sins have been forgiven. Praise be to God by the crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord. You have peace and faith in Jesus. You can love your neighbor as yourself. You've been forgiven much. Now love much. When you're asked to serve in this congregation in any capacity, on boards and councils, in Sunday school or with the choir, like the women who served Jesus, And like the apostles who served him with their lives, each of us here has a unique calling and ability and talent that the Lord can use here in this congregation. And we encourage you during the summer months to pray and think about how can I serve the Lord Jesus in this congregation like this woman did, who would certainly have served Christ all the rest of her life. So my friends, you too go with those same words that Jesus spoke to this woman. Your faith has saved you. Now you go in peace. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with